Riley Gaines is a University of Kentucky grad, a 12-time All-American collegiate swimmer, and most recently she's been known for speaking out after tying Leah Thomas, a biological male swimmer, on the women's team at the 2022 NCAA Division I Women's Swimming and Diving Championships. Since then, Riley's become one of the most powerful voices speaking out against males competing in women's sports, and recently she expanded her message to reach future generations by authoring a children's book which teaches kids about the importance of standing up for truth. Riley is joining me today to talk about what's happening in women's sports and, more importantly, what's happening with the transgender movement and what we can do to be champions for truth. This is the Heidi St. John Podcast. Stick around. I think you're going to be encouraged. All right. Well, I just want to welcome Riley Gaines to the show. Riley, it's such a pleasure to have you here. Thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you, Heidi. I could not be more excited to talk with you.
I feel like we've known each other for a while. Like, you know, you're like my daughter from another mother, just this really fierce, outspoken warrior, really, for truth and for women. But I have a hunch this is not what you started out wanting to do. Am I right?
You would be exactly right. Who would ever want to do this? I was set to be a dentist, actually, is what I had graduated with my degree in and was set to be in dental school. You know, I had already put my deposit down, accepted my seat, taken the DAT, which is the test to get into dental school, scored in the top percentile nationally, could have gone wherever.
And here you are.
Large deviation from where I thought I was going to be. Mm-hmm. But you and I both know that that's the quickest way to make God laugh in your face.
It is for yourself. Right. It is. It really is. So let's jump right into this because I've been talking about this issue for many, many years on my podcast. About 9 years ago, I was actually speaking at a conference in Indianapolis and came face to face with a transgender activist. And I remember thinking at the time, this is never going to take in the culture. This is madness. And I read from the stage the clinical definition, according to the American Association of Psychiatry, for delusion. And transgenderism meets that clinical diagnosis. It meets the definition of delusion. And yet we're watching the country just sort of spiraling into this insanity. You came onto the scene because you are a female athlete, obviously very gifted in swimming. How long have you been in women's sports, particularly swimming?
Gosh, I started swimming when I was 4 years old. Of course, graduated when I was 22. So, you know,
that's a long time.
Dedicated 18 years of my life to my sport, which you and I both know, right, as an athlete and you know, parents to an athlete, the time, the hours, the dedication, the sacrifices.
The money.
The money.
Yeah.
Exactly. But, you know, you're willing to do it.
Yeah.
All in hopes to compete at the highest level and really be successful at the highest level, which fortunately, honestly, I really did get to that point in my career, which is the goal I had set for myself.
Mm-hmm. Until Leah Thomas, a biological male, comes onto the scene. Tell me about the first time you ever heard about this dude who thinks he's a lady.
So the first time I heard about him, I'll kind of take you back. My junior year, I had ended up placing seventh in the nation, which I was proud of. You know, you're
pretty good. That is not bad.
Well, it was okay. It wasn't my best swim. I was certainly capable of more. And so it was kind of right then and there that I placed seventh my junior year, that I knew my senior year, I wanted to win a national title, which would of course mean becoming the fastest woman in the country in my respective event. And so I'm right on pace to achieve this goal. Midway through my senior season, I'm ranked third in the nation behind one amazing female swimmer who I knew very well, because like in most sports, you know, your top tier athletes know of each other, regardless of where you compete, because you've grown up competing against each other. So I was trailing her by a few 100ths of a second. But the swimmer who was leading the nation by body lengths, might I add, was a swimmer that I had never heard of before, nor my teammates, nor my coaches. None of us had ever heard of this person. And this is the first time we became aware of a swimmer named Leah Thomas. For all we knew at the time, right, I hadn't seen a photo of this person, keep in mind, or else things would have been a little more clear.
Right, right.
For all I knew at the time, this was a senior who came out of nowhere from University of Pennsylvania, which is not a school that historically produces fast swimmers, leading the nation again by body lengths and events ranging from the 100 freestyle, which is a sprint, and all the freestyle events in between, all the way through the mile, which didn't make sense, the range of events here. And so I'm scratching my head, again, talking to my coaches, who is this? We had no idea until an article came out. And in this article, it very briefly disclosed that Leah Thomas is formerly Will Thomas and swam 3 years on the men's team at University of Pennsylvania before deciding to switch to the women's team. And when I read this, I was so shocked. Of course I was.
It's just so like, you're just like, wait, what?
And that was my reaction. It was kind of like a sigh of relief for me, really, because I was like, Oh, this makes sense. Exactly. And I went to look up who Will Thomas was because admittedly, I was curious, you know, was this a lateral movement? You know, was this someone who went from ranking amongst the best of the men to now continuing to rank amongst the best of the women? Mm-hmm. Which is, of course, not what we saw. We saw that this was a very mediocre man, and that's generous at best, ranking 462nd in the nation the year prior before deciding to switch to the women's team. But again, that's honestly why I say I felt relieved. Because I thought the NCAA would see it how I saw it and how my teammates saw it, how my coaches saw it and how my family saw it.
And how normal, really, rational people see it.
Please. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But lo and behold, the NCAA did not see it that way. They saw nothing wrong with it. And so about 3 weeks before our national championships in March of 2022, they announced that Thomas's participation in the women's category was a non-negotiable.
Were you just speechless?
I was speechless. And at this point, like, kind of ashamed to admit it, but my initial reaction was kind of just to laugh. Like, it's like, what? Like, it felt like a South Park episode or like a Babylon Bee headline or like an SNL skit. And those are objectively funny. And so this is happening and I'm like, ha ha. Keep in mind, I hadn't been impacted and really seen the effect of this yet personally. Right. And so it was kind of just like this, like, we're in a circus, Twilight Zone type situation. And then I saw the real impact of it and I felt ashamed for laughing or for feeling remotely intrigued as to what this would look like.
Yeah.
Because those feelings shifted to heartbreak and it shifted to utter betrayal. In regard to the locker room, it shifted to a violation.
Of course.
Traumatizing, really. And not even necessarily traumatizing because of what we were forced to see or how we were forcibly exploited. It was traumatic for me to know just how easy it was for these people who created these policies.
Right.
Totally dismiss our rights to privacy.
So I have five daughters, right? And so I just put myself, I'm like instantly in mama bear mode. I'm instantly like, oh no, no, no. You know, I'm sorry. You follow one of Heidi St. John's daughters into her locker room and they're going to be problems in the locker room.
Totally.
Did this guy just... Does he just nonchalantly walk into the women's locker room like it's no big deal? Like he belongs there?
Yes, that's exactly what he did.
Are you kidding me?
Just walks in and starts undressing. And I can't even put into words. You know, you have your back turned and you're also simultaneously undressed. Keep in mind, we had no idea he was going to be allowed to share that space until we actually saw him in there. And all of a sudden you hear a man's voice.
Oh my gosh.
And it was, again, it's awkward.
Oh my gosh.
Embarrassing. It's uncomfortable, but it was inherent for every girl to cover themselves.
Yes. Yeah. And that is the right response. That's the right response. But this man apparently feels no shame, right? He's just in there like doing his thing.
Yep. Fully intact, fully exposed.
Holy moly. I can't even believe it. And now, I mean, you guys really were the first because then he competes against you. And what happens in the competition?
Well, the first day he wins a national title, beating out, again, Olympians, beating out American record holders. These aren't scrubs. They're the most impressive and accomplished female swimmers this world has ever seen. And he beat them all by body lengths. But the next day of competition was the day that he and I raced. And so, you know, we race, we swim 8 laps of freestyle, we touch the wall. And almost impossibly enough, we had tied, meaning, of course, we went the exact same time down to the 100th of a second. Which, you know, when you're racing for a minute and 40-ish seconds.
Yeah, it's virtually impossible. Yeah.
You can't tell me that's not divine intervention.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we get out of the water and the NCAA official looks at both Thomas and myself. Again, Thomas towering over me at 6'4". And the official says, great job, you two, but you tied. And we only have one trophy. So Riley, the trophy's going to go to Leah. We've been advised as an organization that when photos are being taken, it's crucial that Leah's holding the trophy. So again, you can pose with this one, but you have to give yours back. Leah takes the trophy home. You go home empty-handed, end of story, despite the tie. And that's the moment when. That's when, honestly, like up until this point, I was just waiting for someone else to say something because I thought someone would.
Right.
I thought surely someone who was supposed to be protecting us.
Like perhaps the cowards at the end at the NCAA. Maybe them.
Maybe.
Maybe.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
But what a naive thought. To wait for people to do the right thing unprovoked, we would be waiting here for forever. And right. It hit me. I'm like, wait a minute. We can't expect someone to stand up for us if we're not even willing to stand up for us. This has to come from us as women, as female athletes. And that's when I made my mind up.
Yeah, come on. And so he takes the trophy, which should have belonged to you. This guy who is a mediocre, you know, swimmer on the men's team at best. Riley, there are major biological differences between men and women, right? It is just absolutely no contest when it comes to men competing against women, right?
And it's not sexist to say that.
Right.
Of course, there are differences. And again, it doesn't take a biologist. Sorry, Ketanji Brown Jackson. It doesn't take a biologist to see that. Anyone who has a brother or / sister knows there are differences.
Well, and for goodness sakes, I mean, you just brought her name up. I like to not say her name as often as I can on this show, but Ketanji Brown Jackson, this woman who supposedly represents truth and justice and the blind scales, right, of the American justice system, she knows the differences between male and female. That's not her problem. She's a coward. That's her problem. She's a coward. She doesn't want to go up against the left, which this is kind of their baby right now. And that's what the problem is. And really, that's what you are running into, because we know that there are massive differences between men and women. If you're really, really great, if you're at the top of your sport in basketball, a guy who's at the top of his sport in basketball is going to beat you, correct?
Of course.
Yeah, right.
Even a guy who's not at the top of his sport. If you look at, let's say, for example, and Clay Travis at OutKick, he made this bet. He said any WNBA team, he said he would put $1 million behind it. He put his money where his mouth is. He said, I will put $1 million. I will make a bet of $1 million that any high school boys basketball state championship team could beat a women's WNBA team. And no WNBA team, the Nuggets, I believe, since they won last year, they weren't willing to play. No. And it's because they know, look, the WNBA, the most impressive and accomplished basketball players, weren't even willing to play a team of high school boys basketball players.
Amazing. It's amazing. And everybody knows the truth. It's like the emperor has no clothes. Like, we know the truth. What's it going to take, Riley, to turn this thing around?
A couple things. And to your point you just made, we have to stop being cowards, first and foremost.
Come on.
There are so, and I think our country, first and foremost, the reason we're failing as a nation is because we've become a godless society.
Yep.
But from a worldly perspective, I think we're failing as a nation because we have weak leaders in virtually every realm.
Yep.
Whether it's the people at the very tippy top in the White House right now, whether it's in academia, whether it's in corporate America, whether it's even our spiritual leaders, so it seems.
Mm-hmm.
We have weak, spineless, morally bankrupt leaders in the NCAA, in every realm. We need to garner strong leaders. We need to teach our men how to be strong men, masculine men. Mm-hmm. We need parents who are willing to defend their daughters. Mm-hmm. There are just so many fingers to point, honestly, in this situation. Looking back to my own experience, how many people failed me. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of fingers to point. Mm-hmm. But that being said, there's a lot that we as everyday Americans can do to solve this problem. I think this issue, the gender ideology movement, it's driven by money.
Yep.
Whether
oh,
it's
yes.
the sexualization side of things, yep. whether it's every realm of it is driven by dollars, right? They don't follow red and they don't follow blue. They follow green, right?
That's
Look at Bud Light, for example. who lost $27 billion overnight. Their next commercial was a big burly man on a motorcycle with a camo can.
Right. Never mind. We take it back. But then they don't get rid of Dylan Mulvaney. I mean, they're not getting rid of this dude who's pretending to be a woman. What they should have done, and the same thing is true with Joe Biden the other day, who rightly said these guys are illegals, right, coming into our country. And then what happens next? You can't call them that. And so, like a coward, he apologizes. Right? This is where we are.
And that's the most. I went to the State of the Union address, and I was.
You were there.
I was. Oh, I was. I got to watch, and I watched him call Lincoln Riley Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
But I was actually surprised he said illegals. I'm like, oh my gosh, like he actually called these people what they are.
Yeah.
But of course retracted that, which is insanity.
Yeah. It's totally insanity. I'm wondering if you can speak to, because this is happening all around the country. You know, just before you and I started recording today, I was talking about a woman named Dallas who was inducted recently into the Boxing Hall of Fame, into the Women's Boxing Hall of Fame. And they are now saying that women will be subjected to compete against biological males in boxing. And my first thought, I mean, she is sounding the alarm. This woman is like, no, girls, you have to refuse to participate. And unfortunately, you know, and this is the way sin is the way wickedness is, it always injures the innocent person the most. That's the nature of sin. It's the nature of evil. Because I've heard a lot of parents say to me, even on this show, but if I tell my daughter she can't compete, then she loses any chance at all. And I'm like, don't you understand? She's already lost the chance. Like exactly. the it's already here. Somebody is going to die. I mean, we're starting to see this now on basketball courts. We're seeing it. Certainly, I saw a skirmish in football the other day where a guy was on a girl's team, and women are going to die from this. Riley, what is your what do you say to the parents who are facing this at what they consider to be just kind of a marginally uncomfortable level? Like this is happening. I had a mother write into me and say this is happening to her daughter in elementary school. And she's like, you know, he doesn't really pose a threat right now. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, to me, that's a massive threat. Tell the truth. The threat is the lie. That is the threat.
Exactly. I could not agree more. I guess my first message is to people who haven't been impacted by this yet. You are not immune and you will be impacted by this movement. Honestly, I feel comfortable and confident saying this. Had I not been impacted, I certainly wouldn't have taken a stand. You know, I like we talked about previously, like I had my life plans kind of mapped out for me. I had my head down. I was focused on my success, my team's success, me and my husband's relationship, my family. I wasn't worried about all this stuff. Of course, I never agreed with it or never supported it, but never inclined enough to get involved. It took me being directly impacted. But understand, if each and every one of us waits until we are directly impacted, just like I did, it will be too late. So don't become complacent and think this won't happen to me, especially people in red states. Like me, I live in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, I have been so eye-opened. I thought this isn't happening in Tennessee.
Yeah. Everyone, I mean, I have so many friends in Tennessee, but for the longest time, they're like, Heidi, I mean, that's a problem. That's a Pacific Northwest problem. That's an Oregon problem. That's a you problem. And I'm like, how do you think they got the Pacific Northwest? I grew up here, right? I grew up here in the 70s. It was this beautiful, wonderful place to live. How do you think they did what you think is unthinkable in Kentucky and South Carolina and Tennessee? They did it by getting a hold of the school boards. They did it by hijacking the city councils. And the rest of us are just trying to have a job and raise a family and make enough money to overcome the inflation that the Democrats thrust on the American people about once every 6 years, right? So we're trying to do that. And while we're doing that, they're playing the long game. And we got to stop that, right? I mean, you see, especially the Christian community. I mean, this is the whole point of my podcast, right off the bench, is to say, listen, we gave up these spheres of influence. We just handed it to the left and said, you know what? We don't want to do that. Politics is too dirty. These issues are too difficult. No one wants to talk about transgenderism or homosexuality or same-sex marriage or any of that stuff. So we'll just take a back seat. And when we did that, evil filled the vacuum.
Of course. And again, in every realm, we gave them the entertainment.
Gave it to them. Literally. Here you go.
Giving them our government. they've overtaken the public square. And now we've realized this. And I really do believe people are starting to fight back. And I do believe that the tide is turning. And of course, truth and sanity and God's truth, not just objective truth, but biblical truth will always prevail. But unfortunately now we have to have circumstances like what happened to myself and my teammates or Peyton McNabb, a young girl who got hit in the face with a volleyball from a man on the opposing team who still to this day, a year and 8 months later, is still partially paralyzed.
Unbelievable.
Her vision is impaired. Her memory is impaired. She's not playing college sports like she was supposed to. All the while, this boy has a college scholarship on a women's volleyball team. These things have to happen now because we have conceded, essentially.
Yeah.
But we're waking up. I really do believe that. But we have to fight as hard as they are. And they are fighting the fight.
Yeah.
But we can and we should. And there's more of us. There are more sane people.
Yes.
There are more parents. There are more coaches, young girls who care and who know this is wrong than there are on the other side, but they're just loud. So it's time for us to find our voice. That's how we fight back.
I agree. Do you remember before Disney went completely insane and awful? Do you remember Bug's Life?
Of course.
So this reminds me of that, right? So you got Hopper. There are not that many of them. There's so many more of us, but we're afraid. We've been intimidated. We've been pushed into the back corners of the culture. The church decided we're going to stay within the four walls of the church because it's safe and comfortable there. We got to get outside of our comfort zone. And that is exactly what you have been demonstrating. I'm assuming that for the parent who's listening to this, who says this is happening in my child's elementary school, you would say, don't let your daughter compete against these boys, correct?
I would. And I didn't always think that. I thought to myself, you know, it's not a, you know, we shouldn't have to make the sacrifice.
Right.
But man, I have changed my mind. I thought legislation was the way forward.
Yeah.
Again, if we wait for
But then
that,
you met the legislators.
And then I met the legislators and I'm like, oh, gosh. Sometimes even Republicans are our own worst enemies.
Come on. And girl, so, I ran for Congress in 2022 and everyone's like, what was your big takeaway? I'm like, the Republicans are part of the problem. That was my big takeaway.
Honestly, and I've seen that. And so I realized, oh gosh, we have to take matters into our own hands. And I wholeheartedly support now. And I hate saying it. I hate encouraging young girls to not compete or play sports or compete in sports. But it is necessary. The sacrifice is worth it. You are fighting for something bigger than just yourself. You're fighting for my future daughter.
Yeah, that's right.
For my younger sister. So I do believe that a boycott is what would send the most powerful and effective message.
Yep. I could not agree more. Let's talk about your new book from Brave, because I have written a book for them and you are obviously writing for them now. Fantastic company, doing really good things. These guys are going to give Scholastic a run for their money. And you and I are going to help them. Tell us a little bit about your book, Happy No Snakes Day. What you talking about, Riley?
Well, Happy No Snakes Day is about speaking the truth despite the consequences, despite the fears that you might have. Of course, Team Brave, right? They're going through the crooked canopy and there's a bunch of squirrels out and they have all these signs that say Happy No Snakes Day. And so, you know, Team Brave inquires, what's this about? And they tell them, hey, this is the one day of the year that the snakes tell us they won't eat us. Of course, the snakes were lying as a ploy to get all of the squirrels out so they could eat them. Team Brave is kind of in this predicament. Do we tell the squirrels the truth, even though it means we could get eaten by the snakes? Or, you know, do we leave the squirrels to their fate? But of course, as you can imagine,
Brave. It's Team Brave.
They are brave and they speak the truth. And it has a super cute, funny ending. So I'll leave it at that. But what a fun process. And really, how amazing is Brave Books? This is a company that teaches pro-God, pro-America, pro-family values. It's nothing political. It's nothing partisan. It's merely about
truth,
wholesome virtues and truth.
Yeah. Which is really, as parents, what we should want for our children. And that's how we've kind of lost a generation as we stopped doing it. And you and I both know that the book companies we grew up with, you know, Scholastic is the big one. They are peddling garbage to our kids every day of the week and twice on Sunday. And you guys are having a real impact. Have you been to the library yet? Have you been reading at the library?
Yes, it's been so fun. A reading story hour with Bethany Hamilton, which was just amazing.
She's a rock star.
A a rock star. She's so wonderful. And she really is the epitome of brave and truly fearless. And so it's been so fun. And it's been just a joy. It's revitalizing to me, honestly, to see so many kids who
I love it.
Are desperate and hungry to hear the truth.
Yeah. And parents who are bringing them out. I mean, for all the parents, I've often wondered about this, like the drag queen story hour phenomenon. Kids do not take themselves to the library. Their ding dong parents have to do it, right? So these crazy woke, you know, emotionally bankrupt, spiritually, morally bankrupt parents taking little tiny kids to expose them to this kind of stuff. And what's refreshing about the story hours that Brave is doing around the country is you're seeing parents actually come out for good things, for virtue, for righteousness, for wholesomeness. And it's really encouraging. What's your next project? I know that you're working up, you're doing a little bit, aren't you, up on Capitol Hill?
All the time. I do a lot of advocacy and activism, honestly, in different states, all over the country. Certainly spend a lot of time in DC. I just wrote an adult book. We're talking about kids' book. I just wrote I'll say the word real book as if the Brave book isn't a real book.
A book for grown-ups. A book for grown-ups. Yeah.
It's called Swimming Against the Current, Fighting for Common Sense in a World That's Lost Its Mind. Mm. It is available for pre-sale on Amazon. It comes out in May. So that was a fun process. So lots of stuff on the plate, but enjoying it in the process.
Yeah, it's wonderful. If people want to follow you, where's the best place for them to do that?
You can follow me on X. My username is Riley_Gaines_. You can follow me on Instagram. That's Riley G. Barker. And again, I encourage everyone to check out bravebooks.com. My new book, Happy No Snakes Day, also Swimming Against the Current. And I just appreciate you so much, Heidi, for having me on. And your book with Brave is amazing. I think everyone should check out your book too. It's awesome. And just very grateful for you and your voice and your leadership and your unwillingness to back down.
Well, girl, we have been obviously, you could be my daughter from another mother. I'm so proud of you and so thankful for your voice. And we're going to keep cheering you on. We're in your corner and cannot wait to see what God does as you continue to follow him. Riley Gaines, it's been a real treat and a privilege. Thanks for coming on the show.
And you. Thank you, Heidi.
You're welcome. For more information on today's guest, head on over to HeidiStJohn.com/podcast. And I will link back to all things Riley Gaines in the show notes again. Again, check it out, bravebooks.com. Her brand new book, Happy No Snakes Day. You guys are going to be blessed. Your kids are going to love it. Support a good company, you guys. Quit giving your money to Disney and start giving your money to companies that are actually doing good things for your kids. Thanks for listening to the podcast today. I'll see you right back here again at the intersection of faith and culture.